welcome to the Hometown Hero Outdoors Podcast. Here is your host, Chris Tatro.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Hometown Hero Outdoors Podcast, Season 2. Today, we have an awesome conversation that we're going to hold about Police Week. Police Week is an annual event that is held out in Washington, D.C. May 15th is the annual National Law Enforcement Memorial Recognition Day that is hosted across the entire nation, but pretty cool event occurs out in Washington, D.C. during this time. It lasts for a week or more, where all the law enforcement across the nation is able to descend on Washington, D.C. to honor those who have served in law enforcement and those that have given their lives for everything. It's been pretty unique. Thing that HHO got to engage in. We have not been out to Police Week since we have began the organization, so it was a pretty exciting time for us. It was also very humbling at the same time, where we were able to spend the time out there, meet different individuals from not only in our own country, but from other nations that work in law enforcement as well. I know that we had some people from Aruba that we had met, I believe Germany, Sweden, just people from all over the place. And it was just an incredible experience. So today we actually have some of the individuals who were at Police Week with us. We have our event director from the board, Andy Graff, who is also a police officer. Sean Olsberg, who is our regional director on the board, and Bill Young from South Carolina, who is our state director down there. And all of these gentlemen were able to join us up at Police Week. We also had another individual there, Dan Meyer, our president. He was there. And my spouse, Laura, got to come out and help us as well. So she's always been a huge supporter of HHO and things that we do. So really appreciate her getting out there and helping us out. But we're going to go around the horn real quick, and I'm just going to have everyone introduce themselves real quick for our listeners and who may or may have not heard these individuals, met them before. I think this is Bill's first podcast with us. So, but we'll start with Andy, then we'll hand it off to Sean, then we'll go to Bill. And we lost Andy. So we'll go to Sean. Sean, go ahead.
Hey, great to be here tonight. Sean Olsberg, regional director with HHO. It was attending Police Week was something very special for me, and I can't wait for us to go into discussion.
Awesome. Thanks for being here, Sean. Thanks for all your help. Andy, do you want to introduce yourself?
So I'm Andy Graff. I'm the event director for HHO on the board. I'm a Navy veteran and current law enforcement officer in the South Metro of the Twin Cities here in Minnesota. So Police Week was really awesome for me. Obviously, I come from a family law enforcement, and it was way more than I ever could have thought. Way just so much more than I ever thought it would have been. So it was wonderful to be a part of that. Can't wait for next year.
Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Bill Young, state director for South Carolina. It was very humbling for me to be out there being a state director and being able to attend to something of that magnitude, and coming from a family of law enforcement, it really brought a lot of things home for me. I'm looking forward to next year.
Yeah, you and me both. It's already on my calendar. I already put a vacation request in, just trying to figure out what it is. But so at Police Week, again, it's been established that there's National Law Enforcement Memorial Day is on May 15th every year. So through this time over in D.C. for a week or more, there's a celebration for those who serve and those who have given everything for the country and those communities. And it's something that I've wanted to go to as a police officer myself since I started being an officer back in 2008, dating myself now. And it's just something that I never got to do. And I was super excited about being able to include law enforcement into Hometown Hero Outdoors. So it was something that's crossed our mind to go out there. It's just we never had the ability or fortitude to actually get out there and spread our mission. But as we've grown into 26 states and we're trying to spread our mission further into the East Coast, we thought that it was pretty vital for us to be able to get over to their Police Week. One of the things that we have encountered in Hometown Hero Outdoors is, you know, we started off with our military service members, veterans, and law enforcement. And, you know, law enforcement, we're pretty reclusive individuals where we don't stick our heads out very much. And a lot of times we're pretty self-reserved, and we're kind of worried about the things that are offered to us to see if there's a catch on the back end. And that's not the case with what we do as HHO. So When we go to different events and try to engage law enforcement, you know, everyone's got a job to do and everyone's trying to keep the peace and sure everyone's safe. But with law enforcement, though, it's been a struggle for us to expand on that world and get people to trust that there is no catch and it's okay to come to us and go engage with us. And then also get some mental health support while you're out in the field and doing our outdoor activities. So Police Week was incredibly unique to get there and be able to have a lot of these individuals around us. We got to engage in something called Tent City. I was completely unfamiliar with what Tent City was until I spoke with Aaron Slater down at Wellness Defender. And he informed me about what Tent City was. And it was about a bunch of vendors that get together that are law enforcement supporting and get to sell products or spread their mission with different nonprofits, but what they do. So this year was a little bit of a different dynamic. They had some shift that occurred at Tent City out in Washington, D.C. from the previous years. From what I understand, that Tent City is typically triple the amount or size that we were exposed to this year. And this year was greatly reduced, but it was still pretty crazy busy. But we're able to expand our mission and meet a lot of awesome individuals out there. The big thing was also just touching base with individuals and getting our merch out there. Because, you know, one of the big things that helps ask questions from people about who we are and what we do is being able to get our logo and our information out there. And so it was awesome to have this team of individuals I have on the podcast with us today who have been dedicated to the HHO mission to be able to get there, us be able to not only do some team building and communicate with each other from different parts of the country, but also be able to talk to police officers where everyone was able to let their hair down a little bit in their comfort zone and be able to speak with each other in a very candid space. It was absolutely amazing. So does anyone have anything they want to add to that?
Yeah, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head there talking about law enforcement. Last couple of years, you know, as you guys know, have seen in the news, it really hasn't been cool to be a cop in public. So this event, which is catered directly to cops, people were open and honest about being a cop. And that was really awesome from our organization standpoint. Cause if you go to a sporting show at a big city, you know, hey, cop law enforcement, they usually brush you off because like they don't want to talk to you. They don't want to flaunt that they're an officer, that they're, you know, doing this stuff. Like this is their off time. So for us to reach those guys and gals directly, and for them to just be able to be openly okay with being a cop. Yeah, I'm a cop. Were you a cop? And talking with all, especially all the East Coast agencies and people. But and like you touched on earlier, just the nationwide and worldwide presence, you know, Canadians, Aruba, I mean, Germany. So it was very neat experience and really awesome for our mission to grow and to get into that pool of people easily. You know, these guys had their guard down and they're very open and honest with us, talking to us. We had officers sharing stories, showing us their phone, you know, hey, this is what I went through. Look at this craziness. And, you know, it's like, well, hey, you know, come talk to us, come check out our mission. You know, we talked to some officers that dealt with the riots and they're super close to home who had never been on a trip. So, you know, going out to DC to meet them is, you know, that's a cool thing because they could feel comfortable enough to share that, hey, I'm a cop. Yeah, I've done that stuff. So it was just incredible. You know, that's, it couldn't capitalize on that any way any better. So,
and Andy, I think you and I have a very interesting experience because we've been in the military and law enforcement, and we kind of understand both the worlds when it comes to what people engage in and experience in the military, but also law enforcement. And we can also try to bridge that gap when it comes to PTSD or mental health issues on either side and how similar they can be, but it can be difficult for law enforcement because this is our backyard. When you deploy, I mean, obviously military individuals can have mental health or create mental health issues from things that they experience stateside here, but a lot of it's through deployments and whatnot. So, but a lot of what law enforcement experiences
absolutely.
In their backyard, you know, so going from 0 to 100 and back down, up and down the spectrum, you know, where you're trying to deal with maybe a death notification of a loved one or, trying to help a child who is no longer breathing at the moment and trying to resuscitate them and then having to go help, you know, at a nursing home with someone who lost a loved one, or it's just your spectrum goes up and down a lot and what that can create mentally. Whereas the military, you know, you're when you're deployed, you're at 100 quite a bit of the time. And it's just something that you're used to. So us being able to experience that and understand both sides of that world is completely different. But we have individuals that are on the podcast. We'll start with Sean here. And Sean's retired military, and his experience with being able to be at Police Week and what it means to him to be able to experience all the law enforcement and the camaraderie that occurred. Just, Sean, what did that feel like for you?
Man, it was amazing. So I flew in from Dallas to D.C., and that entire flight to D.C. was just full of folks that were attending Police Week. So I started a conversation back in Texas, sitting down in the terminal, getting ready to go, met some really great people. And then once we flew into D.C., I guess I wasn't really expected for what was to come next. As we were deboarding the plane, there was a surviving family on our plane. And so as we got off, the United States Border Patrol honor team was there to greet that family. And to walk out of the plane and to walk through that honor guard with all everybody saluting, you know, I haven't seen anything like that since the military. And it just kind of caught me off guard and, you know, got you in the feels right away. So I guess I might not have really known what I was walking into. So starting from that point, then I knew. Then I was there 100%, and I knew why I was there. You know, as we
did have a little bit of military reminiscence memories.
Oh yeah, for sure. 100%. The way that the respect and how people carried themselves, and I mean, in the law enforcement side of the world, was just like the military. It was that brother and sisterhood. You could see it. Andy mentioned law enforcement officers. The guard was down, and that is definitely something that I don't see often. I approach a lot of officers all over the place, and the guard is always up. There's always that look like, you know, what's the catch?
Exactly. So, it's too good to be true. Exactly. Spot on.
Yeah. So when we were there in place, Tent City was a secured location with a bunch of vendors and, live music. And it was just a place where everybody could gather and just really let their guard down. It was a secure area surrounded by everybody in there was in law enforcement or, you know, associated with. And that just opened up and the barriers were knocked down. And we were really able to communicate and not only, spread our mission, but it was received, I think, much better than any other attempts I've had working in the law enforcement community.
And there was people from everywhere, you know, and as Sean was alluding to when, you know, with the Tent City and people letting their guard down, it was kind of cool because you'd bump into people that were from where we hailed from, people from home, and the connections that we were able to make and be able to tell people who we are and what we do, but we're in there also in their backyard. And also the people that wanted to step up and assist us in some way or implement us with their local agency was pretty sweet. But yeah, it was pretty incredible experience overall. So Bill, also you talked about being from a law enforcement family, but you're also a Marine back in the day. And I mean, what did you feel when you got there and helped out with everything and experienced what you did?
I almost feel like it was a blessing that I was even asked to go. You know, being it was Police Week. You know, I come from a military family, but also law enforcement. My mom's oldest brother, who a little over a year ago passed away, he served with right there in Maryland, Howard County Sheriff's Department, retired from him twice. He went on to work for Homeland Security. His son-in-law is now working for Howard County. And knowing how those guys are, even around family, when we do family events, like you guys were saying, they even still then really don't let their guard down a whole lot. They're always watching what's going on, who's where, what's going on with anything. To get there and see them guys just, for lack of better terms, completely let go and just be a normal human being for a while, you could see they were relaxed. They were just laid back and just comfortable with it and willing to talk, like Sean was saying, willing to talk to us. You know, like me and Sean being military background, we don't have law enforcement. You know, willing to talk to us and open up to us. They didn't know me. I didn't know them, but we talked. I made connections with, like you were saying, in our own backyard, right here in South Carolina. 30 minutes from me, Chester County Sheriff himself met with me there.
I still got your coin.
Yeah, thanks. I will get that from you one day. But it was just like all of you said, it's humbling, and it was a blessing to be asked to go. I can't wait for next year. I plan it to be every year we do it from here on out. I'll be there.
Totally. No, it was humbling. You know, we were pretty fortunate to be able to get a spot. Like I said before, is Tent City was changed this year. Things came out pretty late when it came to what the plans looked like for Tent City. This year it ran for 2 days, which was previous to the law enforcement Memorial Day. So I'll take it back a little further. Andy and I left Minnesota here with my awesome conversion van with our HHO trailer, and we rode in comfort, right, Andy?
Absolutely. I wish we were able to really enjoy the whole aspect of that beautiful van, but it was very nice. I liked it.
Hey, we talked each other's ear off the whole way, which made the trip go faster. So, I mean, that's the only way to road trip is to be able to talk to people that you're close with. So we actually left here on May 11th on Thursday, and we drove for 10 hours, and we actually spent the night in Avery, Ohio, which actually worked out great because then we were within 6 hours of D.C. And on Friday, worked out even better. We left Avery, and we ended up in D.C., and we literally pulled into the airport as Olsberg was landing and my wife was landing in D.C., and we pulled into the airport and made a couple, I think only two laps. Is that right, Andy? Is it just two?
Yeah, two laps. It was a busy airport, but actually it was a little easier than I thought with that big trailer.
Yeah, no, I was a little worried. We were pulling this large trailer that was 10 foot tall, 11 foot tall, and I was worried that we're going to get stuck somewhere, but it worked out real well. We made a couple laps. Olsberg ended up meeting up with my wife and then met us out front, which worked out really good. But it was what was really cool too was when we got into DC, you know, there was signage about Police Week all over the place. We pulled into the airport, we went to Reagan, and they had welcome officers to Police Week 2023, and there was law enforcement everywhere. There was a few coach buses with, Sean mentioned earlier, with survivors. They were there for the surviving families, to be able to pick them up and escort them. So there's a couple different nonprofits out there that help arrange different things. There's the National Law Enforcement Memorial Fund. They help with coordination with several different things, but then there's also COPS, which is Concerns of Police Survivors, which helps support the families of fallen law enforcement officers. And they bring these families out to DC during Police Week, during honoring those families and that officer. So really incredibly moving. I know, Sean, you saw a bunch of convoys and different buses that were down there and honor guards and whatnot. Remember seeing all those?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and what I thought was really, really special is that there are so many agencies, departments, what have you, that would send, they sent their full honor team out. And as one of the days, we went down and we visit the National Law Enforcement Museum, and right across the street is the memorial. And pretty amazing just to see the different teams out there standing guard and taking their turn and showing respect for their fallen brothers and sisters. It was pretty moving, moving to the point where I went in there for a brief time and I had to step across the street. It was pretty amazing. And I guess it just hit so hard. You don't realize the sacrifice that all the these law enforcement officers give and how many law enforcement officers have fallen in line of duty, you know, just for doing their job. And so this, Police Week, pretty awesome.
Yeah, and there's a schedule. So anyone who might be interested, if you follow the National Law Enforcement Memorial Fund, they actually have an app that you can follow about the schedule that happens on an annual basis. There's also, if you're a law enforcement officer, there's a closed Facebook group that you can join that you have to show your credentials with, but they have a lot of updates about places to stay, things to do, and places to be throughout the week. And it was kind of unique too. Relentless Defender actually had a scavenger hunt that they had hosted through a application that you download on your phone, which kind of gave you a list of different things to go check out while in DC. And it's pretty cool. Then they actually had us on their list to come visit, and we had quite a few people come through, and they had to scan a QR code within our booth over at Tent City in order to qualify for what they were doing with their scavenger hunt. But
we'll return to the podcast in just a moment. But first, Hometown Hero Outdoors would like to thank Relentless Defender for supporting our podcast. Founded in 2014 by a law enforcement officer, Relentless Defender set out to design and sell clothing apparel that the police officers could wear with pride. Go to RelentlessDefender.com to see their current inventory. Now, back to our podcast.
But back to the National Law Enforcement Memorial Fund, they do have an app that you can download, and it'll tell you all the events. And if you haven't been to D.C., just the amount of nostalgia that's associated with it and the amount of history is incredibly humbling. You know, we were only there for a handful of days, and I can't wait to go back. There's just so much to see. You can't do it on the time frame you have, especially if you're busy working a booth or whatnot. But it was super cool to be able to be with individuals that support HHO and things that we do and be able to spend this time with them, having Sean, Andy, Dan, Bill all there, and one of our friends from back home, Barber Chris, down at Prohibition Barber, flew out and met up with us for a little while, hung out for a couple days, and flew back home for his job. But it was super nice to be able to hang out with all these individuals and share this time and experience with them, and it's just one of those things that will always have a special place for me. But if you go to this app, though, you can see that they have a police unity tour where a lot of officers will ride bikes into DC from a very far ways away. I think 300 plus miles at times. Andy, we'll dig into this one. So on Saturday, after we were working our booth went pretty late, but we got to sneak away for a minute. We went to go experience the Candlelight Vigil. Do you want to talk about what that looked like?
Yeah, that, that was a recommendation from our friend at, a Relentless Defender. He said, if you do anything this weekend, go to the Candlelight Vigil. So you, me, and your wife, we went down there and found some other extra Minnesota cops we were standing near. But that's just, it's a big vigil that they list every officer that's been added to the wall. Their name's been added to the wall. And
what's and the wall, Andy?
Sorry, the wall. The wall is the Wall of Fallen Officers out there in D.C. That's at the Law Enforcement Memorial. It has, it's like a big horseshoe. And there's so many names on that list. And you can get added to that list, killed while in the line of duty. And some agencies were going back, going through some records. Because I want to say the oldest one that was announced was like 1840s, very old. I think that was a Boston one. It was
Boston
crazy.
Or New York?
Yeah, so they were doing some keeping. But basically, the cutoff, from what I understand, was the end of December of the previous year. So there was a lot of officers who have been taken, and especially in our area, the Midwest, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, that weren't there. But seeing all that, a good friend of mine, he's an Alexandria police officer, and his really good friend was Josh Owen, who was tragically killed in line of duty just before we went out there. And I remember I was sending him snaps of the Candlelight Vigil, and I said, you have to come out here. And then he was telling me right back. He's like, man, I wish I was there. Cause that was so moving, watching all those people list those names, very somber, but all the honor guards were there. The crowd was huge. I mean, it flooded that. What was that? The National Mall, or where was that at, Chris?
Yeah, we're on the National Mall looking towards the Capitol, and the Washington Monument was behind us.
Yes. And it was, I couldn't believe how many people were there and how many people were there supporting law enforcement of the United States. It really not only humbled me, but kind of gave me like a breath of fresh air. Cause you know, being here from Minnesota, we've, you know, policing here has been tough the last couple of years, and seeing the national level of support we have was pretty darn cool. I mean, I don't know, Chris, if you felt the same, but it was unbelievable.
Yeah, totally. You said a breath of fresh air, you know, and then not only that, but be able to talk to other individuals who have experienced the same struggles that we've experienced when it comes to not only just the day-to-day job, but also the political environment that things have been there. It was very comforting to be able to have people that are still engaged heavily in their profession and be incredibly passionate about it, considering everything that has been happening at the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if anyone's ever curious about going to the candlelight vigil, I mean, probably the most thing I've ever done in my life, that the highest thing I recommend, seeing people there. And then at the end, when they lit the candles and moment of silence, we all raised them up. I know some people got some really good, really good photos of that. And it truly shows the magnitude of the people there and the support that is given to those that were taken in the line of duty.
You know, there's a lot of highlights I've had since we've been with HHO and started HHO, but then looking back and looking at DC and everything, and there's three massive highlights for me. You know, I mean, obviously the formation of what we do is huge with HHO and the people that we surround us with, everyone on this podcast and the things that we do, but different moments. And, you know, the top three in no specific order is definitely, you know, the Officer Mattson King Eider hunt, him harvesting his birds, seeing that. The candlelight vigil for sure. And then the tomb of the unknown soldier that we got to visit, you know, since we do serve military service members and veterans, that we got to take a peek at the, and go watch the tomb of the unknown.
And the change of the guard. Yeah. We got to see that's another DC bucket list. But as you mentioned earlier, I could spend a week there and be like, I need another month. I mean, there's museums and, you know, sites and, you know, even just seeing the White House, regardless of who's in it, you know, that's our commander in chief from the military and essentially law enforcement, because he's the head of everything that brings down the laws and rules, and he's in charge of the country, which is in charge of pretty much everybody we serve. So even just seeing that, seeing the Pentagon, seeing all the monuments and the memorials, it's so moving. I encourage any American to get out to DC and check that out.
And I think that I've always had an idea of what DC looked like in my head, you know, before I got there, from seeing all the movies and the things that you see in photos. And to me, like when we got there and we walked around DC and saw different stuff, it was nothing what I thought it would look like in my head. I mean, you see these monuments and these ideas of things, but like you always paint a picture. And I don't know about you, Sean or Bill, like what does DC have that look in your mind that when you were there, that was it painted the same picture, or is it different?
Well, for me, I mean, I've got family that lives out there, so I've been out there off and on since I was a kid. But it, like you said, the movies and the pictures you see and stuff, it doesn't portray DC for what it actually is. You know, and like y'all said, people got to get out there and actually see it and go and actually experience it for themselves. And it's not something you can do in a weekend, you can do in a week. You got to do multiple trips. Like I just said, I've been out there multitude of times since I was little guy, 7, 8 years old. And there's still stuff I haven't seen out there. There's still some of the museums I didn't even know were there that I'm just now finding out about, you know, 40 years later. So it's an ever-changing environment. I mean, it's our nation's capital. It's never going to stay the same. The monuments are going to be there. They're going to stay there. They're going to carry the same weight as they always have. You know, like for me and Sean, the big thing with us is, you know, our military monuments and stuff out there. And you guys with the police officers and stuff, that stuff, it's going to carry the same weight. It doesn't matter how often you go or how often you don't go. It's going to carry the same weight, whether it's today or 40 years from now. But it's a constant changing environment. So the pictures that people get in their head and they see on TV, they need to go and actually see it for themselves. Don't listen to somebody else. Make your own judgment call and go and see it.
No, totally agree. Sean, what do you think? Did you have the same perception of what you thought it would look like in your head versus what you saw?
I'll go back to flying in. Boy, you know, you're flying into Reagan and you look out the window and the Washington Monument's right there. Like, wow, you're really in it.
And the Pentagon on the other side.
Yeah, you know, and you're there. You've seen it in a million movies and on the news. And yeah, it was exactly how I thought it would be. Really, all those buildings being in real life and being able to get there and touch them and see it firsthand. My daughter left for a DC trip 2 weeks after I went there, so I was still hopped up on it, and I wanted it. So we were sharing pictures back and forth and texting back and forth. But walking the streets with all those law enforcement officers, you know, that's what's special. I'm sure the streets are a little different at this time of year, you know, but walking up and down the streets with everywhere you look, it was somebody to do with the blue. And so that was a real special time to go.
Yeah, pretty awesome. I mean, like you said, you know, everywhere you look, someone had a badge hanging out somewhere or carrying their pistol or a set of bagpipes or a kilt. You know, it's super traditional, like awesome things that you don't get to experience elsewhere. There's a lot of traditional things that happens when you're out there too. They do a lot of bagpipe competitions. They have a parade, you know, and one of the more important things that happens every year during Memorial Day for law enforcement is the actual standing of the guard on May 15th. You know, officers will take stand watch at the memorial for 10 minutes in intervals to honor and remember law enforcement officers that made the ultimate sacrifice. And they will switch out after those 10 minutes with another honor guard. And a lot of those honor guards are individuals from their own PD who had lost someone either this year or years past. And some of them have never met any of them either, you know, so it's a pretty humbling time. But May 15th is the day, but there's still activities and different events that occur after the 15th, but a lot of them are leading up to the 15th. But I know, Andy, I saw that you had something you wanted to add.
No, I was just going to go off what Sean said, just walking around and seeing all the people, whether they're in uniform, you know, bagpipes, wearing blue line gear. That is something I know you wouldn't see pretty much on any big city street. So it was like fun. Like, I don't know. This is a weird thing. You know, I'm a cop. I feel pretty safe every in my day-to-day life, but I've never felt more safe in a big city during that week. You know, we're
in
walking
a foreign,
around.
Unknown yes, city. At
yes,
that.
Completely. Yeah. You know, and it's like, of course, you know, every big city has its, you know, perks and, you know, it's negatives, but it just felt like it was really cool. I don't want to say DC opened their arms, the cops, but it was pretty well, well received. Like you said, the Reagan Airport had a big sign, "Welcome cops." It's like, you don't see that anymore. So I don't know, like Sean, like is just seeing all that is just everywhere you look. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. And just being able to bond and hang out with you guys and be able to watch everyone work the booth and talk to people, you know, it was actually a pretty cool setup at Tent City. There was, how many vendors were there this year? 30 to 50. Is that what it was?
Yeah. Yeah. Somewhere in there. It wasn't a ton, like they said, 300 to 400 in years past.
Yeah. You know, they had a big beer garden in the middle for, you know, later in the evening, but it was pretty cool because we had a nice 10 by 20 booth. You know, we just got some new swag that we bought from Relentless Defender for Police Week specifically and some of our old stuff. And it worked out great. You know, we had Mr. Sean Olsberg out there sniping people, walking by, pushing them in our booth. Have you ever heard of us? And handing out brochures and then just sharing our mission. And then a handful of us in the booth just expanding on who we are and what we do. Andy was in the booth, Bill was, I was, and we just had a little system that worked out real well to be able to talk to people and hand each other off.
Yeah, that was, I think it was Bill that said right when it opened that first day, and he goes, "Oh, the horde is coming, like a zombie horde." And I was like, "What?" And it was literally like a tidal wave of people. We went from 0 to 13 people in our booth in about 4 seconds, and Sean was out there cycling them in and out as quick as they could. But it was awesome. We were shoulder to shoulder in our booth there for a couple hours. It was pretty crazy.
It didn't stop until the rain came.
Exactly.
you know, and I think, I don't know, I was like, well, was everyone here because the rain was coming, or is this normal? I don't know.
I don't think it really stopped and let up even after the rain quit. I mean, it was just, they just kept going. I mean, it was like nonstop. I mean, I've never experienced, you know, Sean, he's taught me a lot with booth work and stuff, but I've never experienced that kind of foot traffic in a booth. It was like, we're going to be wore out by the end of the day. We ain't going to have nothing left.
Oh, we were wore out. We were
very, my feet were hurting.
Yeah. 13 hours in Hey Dudes. That was stupid.
Yeah. But with that, by being there, and us being able to share our mission, you know, I got one little story from one lady that I met. They hadn't heard about our mission at all before. They were from Florida. Her friend was a FBI agent, and she's the widow of a fallen law enforcement officer who unfortunately committed suicide. And through our short conversation, we were able to build enough rapport and trust with each other that, you know, she admitted to me that she had attempted suicide. And so her friend, the FBI agent, was there and encouraging her to come and talk with me. And so we sat down, we talked for about 10 minutes. And that was pretty special, you know, to see people accepting our mission and right on the spot, right there, making a difference in somebody's life. So, I mean,
I had a handful of officers that shared that they had been through a lot of mental health issues and things that they've been through and a couple attempts, you know, and, you know, they were able to see our mental health shirts that we had there about, you know, your story isn't over, you know, and the big catchphrase we like to use is, you know, it's okay to not be okay, just don't stay there. And we have these shirts that were there and officers were coming in and swiping them up because, you know, it spoke to them based on everything they've been through. And it was really eye-opening just to be able to hear these different stories and experiences and the things, you know, that we've experienced as a team in HHO, but also what these officers are going through. And the vulnerability that was exposed and shared with us was amazing because it's not something that we get when we're at other events or on trips for the most part, even, but there was just, it was there.
Oh, for sure. And another thing that we haven't even mentioned yet was the patch and coin trading. You know, that was a huge aspect of this event. One of my sergeants is a coin and patch nerd, to put it nicely. Yeah. Like he's still got a coin. There you go. But I mean, honestly, I did not expect that. I only brought a handful of patches to trade, and I wish I had 30 because I would have got rid of all of them. You know, I wish I had 100. That was fun aspect of it too.
You know, we all brought, Andy and I brought some agency stuff, but not a whole lot. Don't have a whole lot, but we just wanted to see how things went. If individuals, we put a basket out and said, you know, donate a patch, take a patch. And we had these small little PVC HHO patches and stickers and some other just give me's that we would give out. And we wanted to see how we did. And actually it went a lot better than you thought. We ended up coming back with over 130 patches from across the country and even other countries. And it was pretty awesome just to be able to see all this. And we plan to build a patch wall that gets to go back every year, which is even more exciting. But I know we had a handful of HHO coins that we were able to hand out, which was also pretty awesome. Cause I know all of us got a lot of pretty awesome coins. I know Bill held one up there a little bit ago, but like just some of the ones I have here was, I got Fresno Sheriff's Office, Deputy Sheriff on Cali, and then Chicago Police. I have Illinois State Troopers. I believe I met their union presidents, and he handed me a coin, which is pretty awesome. Los Angeles PD from their training division, which is pretty fantastic. And then also Secret Service. I think all of us got to talk to some different Secret Service agents, uniformed and non-uniformed, while we're out there. So I got a pretty awesome coin. It was kind of funny because we're all trying to one-up each other for our Secret Service coins while we're there. And just the uniqueness. You're all like,
look what I got. Look what I got. That was fun too.
I mean, who was the one who had the Secret Service coin that had it? It looked like a shell casing.
Yeah, the bullet punch. That was me. It was just, that was the coolest little thing. We were just chatting and she was buying a shirt. And she flipped open her wallet and there was a Secret Service badge. And I was like, hey, do you you want to trade coins? And she's like, oh yeah. And she hands me that. And she was telling me she was the Uniform Division Secret Service. She rides at a patrol car every day, which I'll be honest, I didn't know they did that. I thought Secret Service was the suit and ties chasing presidents and delegates all over the place. No. But no, she was, she was the uniform, you know, looked like me, dressed like me as a cop, but didn't expect it. And that was one of the coolest coins I got. And that was my coolest coin, I'd say. I know Sean got a really cool coin too. Was that Secret Service or what was that one?
Well, I got one from a gentleman that from the FBI National Academy, the Texas chapter. Oh,
that's what it was. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I didn't even know there was a FBI Academy in Texas, so that's pretty special.
And he stood and listened to you for a while. I watched him and I watched you, and I'm like, man, this guy's digging in deep with his mind right now. I wonder who he is. Then you got that coin. I was like, all right, it all makes sense. This guy's analyzing every word coming out of your mouth right now.
Yeah, he could tell me if I was full of shit or not. That's for sure.
Oh, he wouldn't have gave you a coin if you were full of shit. That's for sure. I can tell you that one. Pretty cool. Sean got a Secret Service coin. I got another one too. Mine, I had a centennial coin for their 100th year celebration. That was in 2022. That was pretty cool. It was actually a husband and wife, and they were super awesome. And they don't, you know, obviously don't share with who they are right away. I think the Secret Service is a little bit more reserved with letting you know they're a Secret Service to begin with, but everyone else is pretty open about who they are and what they did. But I'm sure the Secret Service is getting just completely pounded with questions constantly.
But oh yeah, for sure. And even some of the FBI guys. I mean, obviously, you know, some people don't like those three-letter agencies, and you know, right. But it's fun because they're law enforcement too, so they were out there, but they weren't flaunting it, I'd say, near as much as the typical deputy or, you know, small town agency guy or even the big ones. It was kind of fun to see the groups of, like, a group of Chicago would come by, and then you'd get that one group. Was that from Phoenix that came and stopped by us?
Phoenix.
And there was the one also, was it Grand Rapids, Michigan? Just a group of them. And I'm like, how fun would that trip be? Bunch of coworkers going on a trip to come down to DC during police week. That'd be pretty awesome.
A lot of people from Jersey and a lot of those
in Texas. But you know, if you don't know where I live, I live in a pretty small town. Okay. But one stoplight, but I'm over in Washington, DC at police week. And these officers come up and it's actually a captain from the town next to me. I've never even met him 20 miles away. You know, I met so many local Texas law enforcement officers that now I've been in touch with back and forth for 2 months. And so it's or a month already. So
that's cool. So awesome.
I got coined by someone in Woodbury PD, which is in my own jurisdiction for where I work, a city that I help cover. And they're literally like 3 miles, 4 miles south of where I live, and never met them. But I got a coin from Woodbury PD while in DC, not in Woodbury, but in DC. That's kind of small world.
Yeah, that's funny.
Good stuff.
That's the joys of it. That someone's like, oh, hey, like, I think it was Apple Valley PD. I was like, Apple Valley. And I'm like, well, I'm right next door. So, you know, chatting, catching up. And then a guy I went to high school with came out and met me. I probably haven't seen him since I graduated high school. Well, since he graduated in 2006, he's an Iowa State trooper. We've always talked about exchanging patches. And I just happened to see his Facebook one morning. And he was out there. I was like, dude, are you here? Come visit. So he came to my booth. We talked and we exchanged. He gave me a patch and I gave him a patch and we trade coins. And it was just pretty cool because it's like, that's Iowa State Patrol. I'm meeting out in DC, but would come from the same small town here in Minnesota. And it's just, you know, stuff like that. Like Sean said, like you go all the way to DC to meet someone from you. Same with you. How cool is that? How cool are these stories and these experiences we got to see?
Oh, super cool. You got a little choppy there, Andy, but that's okay. We figured out what you were trying to say there. So, no, pretty unique. So, Bill, do you got any, if you were to reflect on your time there, besides getting to meet us awesome people, I'm just joking. What other awesome things, what was your number one thing that you think you'd pick for that time?
Man, you know, it's hard because, like Sean said earlier, there's so many similarities between the law enforcement side and the military side. I think the best that I can take away from it for me was it gave me an understanding a better understanding, not an understanding in general, but a better understanding of the mindset on the law enforcement side of it when you guys are out in the field and what you do and what you see and what you go through. Like you said earlier, Chris, you know, the ups and the downs, ups and downs. 1 minute you're 0 mile an hour, the next minute you're wide open. And it doesn't matter what the situation is. It gave me a better idea of maybe when I'm talking to police officers around here where I'm at, I can approach it differently now. You know, yeah, I can put the mission out there, but I can approach it with a little bit of a better understanding. You know, I've been in an environment now where, you know, I can bring that to the table. Like, hey, look, you know, I've been to police week, you know, man, come out. You need to come to police week. Come check it out. You can, you know, you can let go. You can relax. You can be around, you know, your own people. And I think that's, to me, and being humbled as much as I was, I mean, if my wife was in here, she would be able to tell you, you know, that the experience for me, I still to this day, I talk about it with friends and family. I still talk about it. You know, it wasn't just meeting you guys, which that was great. I had a great time with you guys. I really did. But, and I learned a lot. But at the same time, it humbled me to a point that I don't know how to explain it. It's just, it, I have no words for it, basically. It's just, it is what it is. And I enjoyed every minute of it. Like I said, that my biggest takeaway was just being able to see them guys, see you guys let your hair down, for lack of some of us having hair.
True.
Just, you know, and be free and talk and not have to worry about somebody behind you.
Be ourselves.
Yeah.
Be human.
Be yourself that you can't be normally because you got to be on guard all the time.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it, putting your hair down like that, just being able to loosen the collar and just kind of just hang out. I like that.
Yeah, and I really appreciate you coming. We originally planned DC with Police Week for mostly bored individuals, and then we got about 2 weeks out and realized we needed some additional help. We knew that it was going to be busy, but we didn't know how busy, so we put out a little call for individuals within HHO to help out, and Bill stepped up the plate being in South Carolina. How far is your drive from there?
Not including the traffic, it was about 8.5 hours.
Yeah, so it's still a poke. You know, it's half the distance what we had, so it was nothing to scoff at. But it was very helpful to have Bill available. One of the things that I thought was really cool, too, for us, none of us, except for Sean, had met Bill in person. And Bill being a state director, he's being led by board members that he's never really met for the most part, except for Sean. So it was really cool to be able to establish a relationship with Bill and understand how everyone thinks, and him get to hear, you know, our vision and our thoughts and the depth and complexities of what our minds do for HHO. So I'm sure that had a lot of eye-opening stuff for you as well.
Well, and yeah, and a lot of that too, it wasn't, you know, a lot of our communication has been via Facebook Messenger or emails. Actually able to be put a face to it and see body language when it's being said, that adds a lot to when somebody's trying to explain something to you or give you guidance on which way to go with something. That body language, and people think, oh, body language doesn't say a whole lot. Body language speaks a lot. And in law enforcement, you guys know that it speaks a lot. You look at body language all the time.
Amen.
So, I mean,
absolutely.
Bill, would you say, like, myself and Chris were there, and Dan, are we more approachable now that you've been able to interact with us and rub elbows? Do you feel more comfortable chatting with us about things?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, I felt comfortable with talking to you guys before. It just, now that, I guess it's a different kind of relationship we've had because we've done an event together. We were able to cut loose and dig at each other a little bit and poke fun here and there and
have a couple of drinks.
And had a good time with it. I guess it kind of opened up that relaxed kind of communication thing. know, just like here recently, I sent you guys an event request, whatever the case may be. It was quick. It was simple. It was painless. There was a couple questions. You guys asked it. I answered it. It was done. Before, I'd have been like questioning you guys 4 billion times. Sean can attest to that. I blow his phone up all the time, but that's what he's there for.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, though. No, I totally agree. It was nice to be able to shake a hand, understand who you are, and be able to not only get to know you as a person and a human, but you know, where you've been, what you've done, then also be able to share our passion with you. And then our biggest thing is when we meet up with people who are in the field outside of where we live is to hand off a little bit of what we know for knowledge and experience of what we do with HHO. And I feel like we did that.
For sure. I definitely agree. And I guess the only thing I can say for you as far as board members, meet your state directors face-to-face once in a while. Maybe bring them up for an event here or an event there or something. So you can do the same thing with the rest of them as well, because for me, it was astronomical what it did for me.
Can't replace that at all. So yeah, good
feedback for sure.
Yeah, totally. Sean, what was your number one thing or takeaway from Police Week?
Number one thing, camaraderie, to see all those people, from all different areas of the United States and or other countries come together in one spot with one common reason. And that was to mourn and or celebrate the lives of those that paid the ultimate sacrifice to protect us on a just going to work. Camaraderie is something in the military side that's a given. You know, it's something you see every day. But in the law enforcement side, I guess I just figured with how different size departments are and it's usually go to work and just go home. I didn't know that it was that bond was there, but it was super strong to see it in a environment like that, in that setting in our nation's capital on National Police Week. That will stick in my mind forever.
And you get to experience it time and time again, man. That's something that's not going to end.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing, Andy Graff. What do you think? What was your number one?
Man, I don't even know if I could put it properly to words, but just the love and support for law enforcement that I didn't really know existed, and getting to see that and getting to spread our word and talking to widows and talking to buddies that lost, you know, buddies. I'll take that with me forever. Like you said, I'm going as long as I can, as long as we do it, and I'm telling everybody to go. I came back, told my whole department, if you haven't gone or thought of going, you need to, you know. And it's tough, you know, half of my friends work, you know, it's like I work half the year, my other friends work half the year. So we all can't go. I'd love that. But, you know, I'd love to get some guys together, you know, even not HHO related, but just get some guys for that I know to come down and go to all these events. They do so many things, and just seeing all that support really ignited that fire back in me for supporting my community and my brothers and sisters across the nation. So something I'll never forget, and I can't wait to do it again.
Totally. No, it was great to be able to spend the time with you and get to know you better, Andy. I know we've known each other since the inception of HHO, but being able to spend that time with you to go out there has been pretty awesome.
Yeah, that first half of the trip on when we left, that first like 16 hours or whatever it was, the 12 hours, it went by like a breeze. We were just chatting away.
It felt like a 2-minute drive.
You know, and to wrap it up, just to see the impact that we made just in that in those couple of days, you know, as you guys were driving home, going through Pennsylvania, something happened.
Talking about the person that saw our trailer?
Yeah.
A picture to it? Yeah. That how cool was that? She's wearing our shirt that she bought at our booth. She spots our big trailer, says, God, it's great to meet you guys. Drive safe. And like, how cool is that? Getting that national recognition, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and something that's even more cool on top. I mean, that's super cool. But We just got an email into our info email with one of the police officers who has actually took a photo of him in our HHO swag that he bought at Police Week while he was in Ireland, and he sent it to us. So, I mean, now it's going out of the country on top of that.
Very cool.
Super cool. It's just nice to see that people are respecting who we are and what we do. And it's just another, it just helps substantiate what we're doing, you know. And
yeah. So anybody listening, hey, it's okay. Reach out to us, you know?
Right.
For sure.
So my number one thing, there's actually two moments, so I'm going to kind of cheat a minute. One moment was a moment that we were standing in our tent that night, and we had a young lady and a young man walk into our booth. And I noticed the young lady was wearing a lanyard around her neck with a giant identification piece that stated that she was the spouse of a fallen officer, and she had her son there with him. And it was later in the evening on Sunday evening, and it took me a second because I haven't been exposed to Police Week and fully understood who these individuals were with these lanyards. And as we went throughout the weekend and I read them as they went by, you could see that they were either escorts, family, or the actual survivor of the individual that was taken from them or us. And I saw this lanyard and I saw her identification, and I got closer and I realized that she was the spouse of an officer who was killed in the line of duty, and the emotion that pours over you. And one thing that, and I'm going to be a little bit candid here with myself, is that, you know, I've lost a lot of partners, and I struggle with their loss, and I have a hard time grieving their loss. And it's something that I still have issues with to this day. And obviously my outdoor experiences are something that helped me significantly. And just everything I've been through in the military and my law enforcement, I'm getting worse at grieving. And to have that individual stand in front of me, and I'll never forget the look on her face and her son's face when I realized who they were and what they've been through. And I just shared some tears and told them sorry for your loss. And it was a moment and something that I'll never forget. And I asked the son, you know, are you looking to get something? What do you want to do here? And she goes, he really wants a sweatshirt. He's kind of cold. So I was going to buy him one, and I said, what size are you? And I walked over and grabbed him one and gave it to him and gave him a hug and said, it's all yours. You know, we didn't sell it. You know, it was just a moment that I will never forget because she said, thank you. And one thing that I hope that she truly does is I told her about the youth hunt that Sean and his team host down in Texas. And I pushed them really hard to try to at least come and experience this youth hunt as a mom and a son, and, hopefully in spirit with a father, you know, to be able to engage in what we do down there and separate, you know, reality with some time in the woods with us. And I really hope that they can reach out and do that, but that's something that will stick with me. But the one word that I would wrap it all up with is the word healing. You know, everyone's had some good comments on what they've experienced, but my word for me is healing. You know, I think that's a place that holds, when it comes to DC, you know, there's a special place in people's heart in our country and our history that we've been through, and being able to be there and watch everyone walk through the process of grieving and accepting what has happened, but also being upset about what's happened, but it's closure with healing. And I think that's the biggest thing that sticks with me, is that whole process is a lot of healing happened, especially with the candlelight vigil and the wreath laying and the standing of the guard, and just looking back at my career and everything I've been through too, I think it helped a lot too. I was able to visit three of my close friends that are on the walls there, and it was nice being able to see that, and it felt sad at the same time, but happy to see their names and know that they've sacrificed and it's not gone to waste. You know, they're still here. So
yeah, that's a good word. Healing is a really good word. That's a deep thought, Chris, for sure.
Yeah. Amen. Well said.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate y'all for coming on tonight for the podcast. Just so our listeners know, so Police Week 2024, that will happen May 12th through May 18th out in D.C. with May 15th for the Law Enforcement Memorial Day. Tent city will be determined. Between now and then, we'll do another podcast before we lead up to Tent City just to let people know where we'll be. But I highly encourage all our listeners, whether you're law enforcement or not, have family in law enforcement. If you're curious, please send people out there to support what our officers go through and what their families have experienced. Help stand them up, be behind them. If you don't donate to us necessarily, donate to these guys too. I mean, there's so many good organizations out there between the National Law Enforcement Memorial Association and COPS, and No Relentless Defender has a foundation that is phenomenal for supporting law enforcement. But at least go and experience it and tell the stories of the officers that are there and spread the word, because without that thin blue line, this country is going to have a hard time. Any closing comments from any of my colleagues tonight?
Well, thanks for chatting, guys. It was, like I said, that is a lifetime memory. I'll never ever forget how wonderful it was, and getting to meet you, Bill, and hang with you, Sean, and Chris, and Dan, and your wife, Chris. I'll never forget it. So thanks for letting me tag along. That was pretty darn special.
No thanks needed, my friend. Sean or Bill, you have any closing comments? Or
hey, I just wanted to mention Aaron Slater in Relentless Defender one more time for the dedication that he has to the law enforcement community. He's helped us out, and he supports the Law Enforcement Memorial Fund in the museum. And through him, we've been able to meet a lot of other individuals and organizations in the law enforcement community, especially down here in Texas. I've been blessed to be able to go to his foundation and visit with other people and connect with law enforcement agents throughout the state. So Aaron Slater with Relentless Defender, if you don't know, you need to know.
And they make phenomenal gear.
Yeah, amen to that. He is such a great guy. So good for us. So good for so many people. So, yeah, definitely a special thanks to him.
If you're from Minnesota too, I would say the likelihood's good that he'll be at our banquet this next March in Minnesota, Stillwater, Minnesota as well. So if you're from the Minnesota or surrounding areas and plan to attend our banquet, you'll likely get a chance to meet Aaron at our banquet this next year. And hands down, one of the best people I've ever met in my life. So, Bill, any last thoughts or closing comments?
You know, it's hard to follow you up, Chris, with what you had to say. It really is, because you pretty much hit every nail right on the head with everything you said there at the end. I'll be there every year. If you guys let me attend, I will be there every year.
Well, I appreciate that. And thanks for your work down there. I'm glad we got to meet, you know, get to know each other, and looking forward to the future and things that we can do down there. I know that you probably have some people that will be joining staff in time that you met down there, or prospective partners to the north or south. So that's also an awesome venture that we'll get to expand in North Carolina or surrounding states.
Yep.
Well, with that, everyone, thank you for tuning into the podcast. And again, please reach out if you have questions about Police Week, or check out the National Law Enforcement Memorial Association, the Memorial Fund, or COPS, Relentless Defender Foundation. But anytime you want to talk about Police Week or want to come see us, we encourage you to do it. We have a special edition law enforcement stuff we'll be selling there every year, just HHO oriented. But the support is where it's at, and everything that we can do for our law enforcement. So again, thank you for listening, and this will conclude this episode. And as Dan Meyer would say, we will see you out on the water or in the woods. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Hometown Hero Outdoors podcast. For more information, visit our website at hometownherooutdoors.org.